Well, even though we were not fully prepared, I enjoyed singing with the men. We had a number of requests, but we decided to sing anyway. Let me take this opportunity to thank all of you for inviting me here. I don't know how many times you have invited me, but I feel complimented yet again in being here. Thank you so very much for all your expressions of Christian love. I'm sorry Louise could not be here. I spoke to her yesterday morning. She said there was 1 inch of ice plus 3 inches of snow, and I think the roads are open now. Brother C.D. Crawford and I will be leaving early in the morning, and I trust and pray that we will not have any difficulty in getting home. Thank you so very much. Let us turn in our Bibles to a very familiar portion of Scripture, and you have heard it read already tonight. Psalm 23. Turn there, please. We have been thinking about the primary names for God. We have not thought so much about the compounded primary names or the compounded names with Jehovah. But I trust as we stand on the threshold of a new year that we will be renewed in spirit tonight, that we will go forth into this new year with that determination, like those of whom we read in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, to think upon the name of our Lord, to regard His name, to meditate upon His name. In doing so, we will be thinking, we will be meditating upon Him. I trust this is our determination. Psalm 23. And in thinking about our time tonight, I thought that I would take some of these compounded names of Jehovah and apply them to Psalm 23. You know, it would be a terrible thing if anyone in this audience had to read Psalm 23 altogether different, the way in which it is revealed here. If one had to say, "The Lord is not my shepherd, I will constantly walk. He does not make me to lie down in green pastures. He does not lead me beside still waters. My soul is not restored. He does not lead me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm filled with fear, for I am alone. His rod and His staff do not comfort me. There is no table prepared before me in the presence of mine enemies. My head is not anointed with oil. My cup is empty. Surely goodness and mercy shall not follow me all the days of my life, and I will not dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It would be terrible to have to read it that way. But how wonderful we who know the Lord are able to read it as we have it. Now you will see at the beginning of the psalm as well as at the end of the psalm that here we have the name Jehovah. You should know that by now. That word Lord, all capital letters, Jehovah. So let us think upon His name. The Lord is my shepherd. This is Jehovah Rohi, or Rohi as some might pronounce it. The Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. As we face the new year, how wonderful we can stand upon the Word of God and as Christians to know that Jehovah is our shepherd. Jehovah Rohi. That's here, Psalm 23. 23 and verse 1. But I looked at that word shepherd, and I checked the concordance and some other helps, and found that this particular word rendered shepherd here is rendered by other words throughout the Old Testament scriptures. For example, this word shepherd is rendered herdman, Genesis 13:7. It's rendered pastor, Jeremiah 17 and 16. It's rendered friend in Judges 14 and 20. Companion, Proverbs 28 verse 7. Keeper, Genesis 4 and verse 2. And feeds, he's the shepherd who feeds his sheep. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, Isaiah 40 verse 1. The same word. All of these words are the same word. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rohi. I shall not want. Jehovah Jireh. Genesis 22:14. The Lord will provide. And we were mentioning Sunday morning that God, in his foreknowledge, looks ahead, and in his prevision, he makes provision. And the Lord has promised, as our shepherd, he has promised to meet whatever need we have. He has given himself to provide eternal salvation for us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, maybe you're thinking that needs to be qualified, and it does. So 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So the Lord gives himself, and he promises to meet every need pertaining to life and godliness. His grace is sufficient. I shall not want. Jehovah Jireh. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. And our brother Doug touched upon this as he read those words. He spoke of peace. Jehovah Shalom. Judges 6:24. A sheep will not lie down unless he's at peace. A sheep will not go near moving water, troubled waters, I have been told by shepherds. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah is our peace. The comprehensiveness of that word Shalom, as it is used in the book of Isaiah, tells that Jehovah is our peace. He is the procurer of peace. For the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. He is the personification of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 and 6. He is the publisher of peace. Isaiah 52 and verse 7. He is the perfection of peace. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. He is the power of peace. Isaiah 26 and 12. He is the promise of peace. Isaiah 32:17. The work of righteousness shall be peace. and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. He is the perpetuator of peace, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, and the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Jehovah, who is my shepherd, gives me peace. He made peace by the blood of his cross, and now his peace governs my actions. He is my peace. Jehovah, Shalom. He restoreth my soul. Jehovah, Rophe. That is, Jehovah healeth. Exodus 15 and 26. He restoreth my soul. I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior the latter part of 1954 in my hometown of Richmond, Virginia. My background is Jewish. My great-grandfather came from Bavaria, Germany. He was raised in an Orthodox Jewish home, and he is buried in the Orthodox Jewish cemetery in Richmond, Virginia. My grandfather, Isidore Schwartz, that doesn't sound Scottish, does it? Isidore Schwartz married into a Marx family, very much Jewish in name, but they were Christians. I don't know whether that means they were truly born again. I trust that is the case, or was the case. But he was completely disowned, and my mother told me that he was buried in effigy. Completely disowned by the family. I knew nothing whatsoever about God, the Bible. I was not brought up in anything. As they say down south, using double negatives, I didn't know nothing about nothing. That's triple negatives, isn't it? I didn't know nothing about nothing. Shows you how ignorant I was. But the latter part of 1954, in Grace Gospel Chapel, I heard a man who worked for C&O Railroad preach on John 3:16. And he wanted us to make it personal, and I did. And I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and Louie did shortly after that. But I would have to confess that there have been those times that I have gotten away from the Lord. I have found in my experience that the distance from what we speak of as the mountaintop of spiritual enjoyment to the valley of discouragement and defeat oftentimes is a short distance. And whether we become cold in heart and get away from the Lord, if you please, or whether we are wounded in spirit by others, Jehovah Rophe, he restoreth my soul. That's wonderful to know, isn't it? He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jehovah Tzidkenu. Jehovah our righteousness. Jeremiah 23. Verses 5 and 6. Did I give you the reference for Jehovah Rophe? Exodus 15:26. Jehovah Tzidkenu, Jehovah our righteousness. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. We read this and considered it briefly during the week. Jehovah has imputed, reckoned over to our account his own righteousness. He has made us righteous in Christ. And now, as Christians facing the new year, we are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The work of righteousness shall be peace, remember, And it's only as we put on the breastplate of righteousness that we will stand in the shoes of peace. Peace always follows righteousness. Is it any wonder we read in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. And verse 17, is it? And the way of peace have they not known. The work of righteousness shall be peace, not only initially when we are saved, but even as Christians in a practical way, it's only when we are right with the Lord, when we get everything right in our life with the Lord, that we enjoy the peace of God. It's an ongoing process. The work of righteousness is peace in a practical way. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jehovah Shammah, he's there. Ezekiel 48:35. I ask you to excuse me. I told some of you it was several years ago I was speaking to my mother for the last time. I knew she was dying. She was in Richmond. We live in North Carolina, about 200 miles away, and I knew this was the last time I'd see her here. We were talking. It was 2 weeks after that I preached her funeral. She said, "Can you preach my funeral?" I had witnessed to her back in 1960. We had some good times together. She was already saved. I don't want to give you the wrong impression, but she had not been living for the Lord. But I wanted to know whether or not she was saved. So she said, "Can you preach my funeral?" I said, "Mother, I think I can. It would be hard." "Oh," she said, "you'll do okay. Brother Durwood Robinson will help you." I said, "What would you like me to preach on?" She said, "You preach on that portion where the Lord said, 'I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.'" I said, "That's John chapter 14. She said, "Yes, preach on that." I said, "Okay, I will. You pray for me." She said, "I have been and will." And I preached on that portion, and the Lord gave liberty. I said, "Mother, it's time for me to go to North Carolina." I said, "Now, what would you like me to read to you before I go?" She said, "Read Psalm 23. I said, "Okay." And I read it. I said, "Mother, it's interesting, isn't it, that the psalmist starts out talking about the shepherd in the third person. The Lord is my shepherd." I said, "Until he comes to the valley of the shadow of death, then he speaks to the shepherd. Thou art with me." I said, "Mother, you're getting ready to go into the valley of the shadow of death." She said, "I know it." I said, "But it's only a shadow. A shadow can't hurt you." She said, "I know that too." I said, "But the Lord is there." And she said, "I know that also." Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah is there. You know, isn't it wonderful to know that he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us? Wherever we go, whatever we'll be faced with going into this new year, we don't know what a day will bring forth, as we've been reminded. But isn't it wonderful to know that he knows everything and we're in his care and keeping? We are kept by the power of God. Walled around, garrisoned about, kept by His power. And He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Jehovah Shammah, He's there. You know, I sometimes think of the Apostle John there on Patmos, and I don't even know whether this would be sanctified imagination, but possibly he was looking across over there to Ephesus. It was the Lord's Day, remember? And maybe he was thinking, today is the Lord's Day, and the people there at Ephesus, the Christians, will be gathered to the Lord, to the ministry of His Word. Oh my, I would like to be there with him. He heard a voice behind him. The Lord was saying in heaven, I'm right here. That's wonderful to know. The Lord is there. The Old Testament question to fallen man is, Adam, where art thou? And the first question in the New Testament is, where is he? And the reply to the question in the New Testament is given by the Holy Spirit, past, present, and future. Where was he? In the manger of humiliation at his incarnation. In the wilderness of temptation at his testing. In the hall of judgment at his rejection. On the cross of atonement at his death. In the will of his Father in his service. Outside the tomb of death at his resurrection. And on the Mount of Triumph at his ascension. Where is he? He's on the throne of acceptance at his Father's right hand. And he's in the surrendered child of God by his Spirit. Where will he be? On the throne of glory at his coming. And we'll share in his glory. But he's ever with us. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what he directs or allows, he's with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah, my banner. Exodus 17 and verse 5. In the presence of mine enemies. God says, in essence, these Christians are mine. I have bought them with an infinite price. And his banner over us is love. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Jehovah Makedesh. Jehovah sanctifies. He sets us apart as belonging to him. And he gives the oil of gladness in the place of mourning. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Jehovah forever, because Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah is my shepherd. As we go into this new year, let us think on his name. Holy and reverent is his name. Psalm 111, verse 9. His name is pleasant. Psalm 130, 5 verse 3. His name is glorious. Psalm 72, 19. His name is excellent. Psalm 148, 13. His name is exalted. Isaiah 12 and 4. His name is everlasting. Isaiah 63, 16. Let us worship and adore, and let us think on the name of our Lord. Brother Ernest.